Hello there and welcome to the Thursday edition of Following the Truth. It's March the 4th. My name is Gary Zimak, and I am going to be sitting here for the remainder of the half hour. I hope you can sit here with me and keep me company, because we have got, I know I say this every day, but today we've really got a good show. You know, today, once again, I'm going to tie in the Give Up Worry for Lent Bible verse of the day with the daily mass readings. And I was pondering this to see if I could make the connection between really the gospel from today's daily mass and the reading for the for Give Up Worry for Lent for this day. And I really do think the Holy Spirit gave me an idea of where we should go with this, because they are connected. And essentially what it is this detachment from material things, or the things of the world, you know, however you want to call it. Not necessarily always things. It can be people, it can be situations. We become very attached to things of this world. I'm guilty. I'm really guilty. I'm telling you, I am really guilty. And I'm trying to address that during this Lenten season. Today I was especially meditating on this, like, how am I attached to something that's keeping me away from Jesus? Because here's the problem. Here's the problem with this. And we're not necessarily talking about attachment to evil things or to harmful things. They could be innocent things. But if we are not willing to let go of the things of this world, and again, it's not always things. It can be people, it can be situations, it can be worldly concerns. If we're not able to let go, we're never going to be able to follow Jesus, which is what Christianity requires. And during Lent, we're called, the church challenges us, I think is a better word, the church challenges us to look internally, look at ourselves, and address those problem areas, those areas where we might be not willing to let go of things. You know, it could be our families. And I'm not talking about you move out from, or you leave your family. That's not what we're talking about here. What I'm talking about is, are we, and I'll include myself here, are we willing to hand our families over to God to let Him do what's best for them? Do we pray like that? Do we pray, Thy will be done, not just in my life, but in the life of my family? You know, as a parent, I think it's one of the hardest things for me to do, for a parent, as a parent and as a husband, to entrust my wife and my children into the hands of God. Even though I know He loves them, I don't like to relinquish that control. Do you ever feel that way about family members? It's a tough dilemma, isn't it? You know, but that's the only way that I can really follow Christ. And it's the only way that it would be good for my family members, because they're going to have to suffer sometimes. We all do. There's no way for us to get to heaven, which is ultimately what we should want for ourselves and our family members. There's no way to get there without embracing the cross. So if we completely remove the crosses from their lives and our lives, maybe, we're not going to give any of us a chance to encounter Christ more deeply and make it to heaven. Now, the good thing is, and I say this in all honesty, the good thing is I can't. I think I can fool myself, but I can't remove the crosses from the members of my family. I can try to make them lighter, but, you know, we've all been in that situation where we just can't do anything. My wife's anxiety problems over the past several months, that's a great example. I can only do so much. But I couldn't take that anxiety away from her. Now, you know, thankfully, and I'm really grateful to the Lord for this, it was a great experience for Eileen. I didn't want her to have to suffer, but that experience allowed her to grow closer to Jesus. And it was beneficial, and she's doing much better now. But I wanted to just take it away. And that's my reaction when I love somebody. I just want to protect them. sometimes that's not a good thing. So today we're going to talk detachment. It might be things. You know, in order to pray, you got to turn the TV off. You got to put the phone down. You got to turn the internet off. Sometimes I don't want to do that, right? Sometimes I don't want to do that. But that's the only way that I'm ever going to get to know Jesus. You know, this idea of being a half-hearted Christian, that doesn't really cut it. Unfortunately, there's a lot of it going on in the world. Christianity is not easy. It's not supposed to be a walk in the park. And yet, it will bring you great peace, no doubt. But you got to push through the cross sometimes. And, you know, in order to find, like, here's the problem. And look, this is me. This is my problem, too. The problem is we want the peace. We want the joy. We want all the good stuff that goes along with being a Christian, but we don't want the cross. But we're never going to get it unless we accept the cross. So I'm going to try to summarize all of that on today's show. We'll see what we can do. And the good news is, here's the good news. I'm not trying to freak you out. I'm really not. You can have the peace that you're looking for. You can have all the joy you want because your relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is going nowhere. Nobody can take that away from you. That is there. That exists. That will always be there. You wake up in the morning. I don't care if you have stage 4 cancer. I don't care if you have COVID. I don't care what you. I don't care if you have no money. Nobody or no situation can ever take your relationship, the relationship that you have with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit away from you unless you do it yourself. And even then, you can turn back and start over. So the Father's always there for you. Jesus is always there for you. The Holy Spirit, always there for you. And I think that's really good news. So honestly, wherever you are, if this hurts a little bit, always know that we can turn this around. Any of us can turn it around. It's never too late. Even in the Lenten season, sometimes we think like, oh, it's too late now. Lent's already, we're in the second week of Lent. It is absolutely not too late. You can, don't do this, but you can wait until the final day of Lent. Good Friday, Holy Saturday. To make the changes that are necessary and still come out of this Lent so much closer to Christ. You could come out transformed. It is never too late. Again, if you have that approach, that's not a good attitude to have going into Lent. But look, if it happens, it happens. If suddenly on Holy Saturday you realize you just were slacking all Lent and it's time you really want to make the most of your Lent, you turn to the Lord and just ask Him, Lord, my desire is this for this to be a great Lent, for me to change. Please transform me. Something's going to happen if you do that. He's going to respond. You know? But again, don't go into Lent thinking that because that's not a good approach. It's obviously a bad attitude, but it's never too late to turn things around. Hey, look, let's pray, and then I want to talk more about this, okay? I'm getting excited. I'm getting fired up, but I think I want to pray before I go any further. Please join me as we turn to our Father in heaven who is patiently waiting for us to speak. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being here for us. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for your power. Thank you for the fact that you are in control of our lives, of the world, of the universe. Thank you for giving us sacred scripture so that we can see what you have done throughout history. Father, we turn to you today, burdened, concerned, maybe sad, feeling dejected. And we give to you all of those problems, all of those concerns, all of those regrets, all of our anger, whatever it is, it's all yours. Father, please accept these prayers, these cries for help, and handle them in the best way possible. Father, I ask that you pour out your Spirit on me today. Give me the words that I need to speak on this program. Please open all of our hearts and all of our minds to be receptive to the message that you have for us this day. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, thanks for praying with me. I really appreciate that. You know, let's unload the burdens on him. Our Father needs to hear our burdens. All right, I don't normally do this at the beginning of the show. By the way, my name is Gary Zimek. You are listening to Following the Truth. For more info about my website, about my ministry, I should say, including a way to order my upcoming book, Give Up Worry for Good. It's coming out in a couple days. You can visit followingthetruth.com. Now, here's what came to me in prayer, and I'm gonna lay this on you before we talk about detachment. I didn't intend to mention this at the start of the show. Sometimes I'll say it at the end. But for the past couple of days, I have asked you at the end of the program, if you could, please consider becoming a monthly supporter, sponsor of my ministry. I would greatly appreciate it. I'm in a tough situation right now. The speaking work is still not there. And the bank account's depleted. And I need your help. If you can help me, and please do not put yourself in any jeopardy, financial jeopardy. You've got bills, I understand that. But if you are able, you know, a lot of times we hear certain charities, people asking for donations, and we say, yeah, I believe in them, I'm going to do it one day, and then we forget. I'm asking you if you can possibly, please consider supporting my ministry. If you enjoy my work, if you enjoy my daily email reflections, if you enjoy these podcasts, you know, I don't charge for any of that. I want to give it away for free, but I can't continue to go on without any new speaking work. I'm waiting for book royalties, but I've noticed that even the publishers are delaying royalties this year because everybody's hurting. So I'm desperately asking you, if you could, consider financially supporting my ministry on a monthly basis, if you can do it. And you know, I've told you before, you can cancel at any time. But if you would just consider becoming a monthly supporter, I really, really need it right now. You can do that by going to followingthetruth.com and you click on donate. And then you'll be directed to make a donation through PayPal. Now, you can become a monthly sponsor at that point. And again, it can be canceled at any time. Or if you really don't want to do that and you want to contribute something, you can make a one-time donation. So you do that by going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on donate. And it is totally secure. All right? Thank you for hearing my cries for help, if you want to call it that. There hasn't been a lot of response in the past several times that I've issued this request. So that's why I'm thinking that I've got to try. And I hate to ask for money. I really do. But in order to keep going forward, because this is my full-time gig, this ministry, and I spend a lot of time at it. I've been doing this I'm in my 10th year now. And it's tough. I mean, we have cut back drastically, but there's just not, the work's just not out there yet. So if you're able to help me, please, please, please consider going to followingthetruth.com and becoming a sponsor. Would you do that? All right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm not going to say anything more about it today, but thank you so much for your consideration and your prayers too. I need your prayers because it gets tough sometimes. I get a little discouraged because I'm always under attack. When you're in ministry, you are a prime target for the evil one. Because I'm trying to draw souls to Christ, you know, and he doesn't like that. So I appreciate your help. Okay. Give up worry for Lent. Here is the verse of the day. Now remember, we're talking about detachment, and it's hard. It's hard to become detached from the things of the world. You know, be it financial, be it circumstantial, be it material possessions, whatever it is. Because we live in a world that's material. I have bills to pay. I'm looking at them right here. I've got credit card bills to pay. I've got a tax bill to pay. I've got utility bills. You do too. And then we have people we interact with, you know? We say our prayers in the morning. We read our spiritual reading. And we feel good. And then we go out into the world and get blindsided by difficulties, by struggles, by challenging people, right? It's challenging. It's not easy. And Jesus understands that. Why? Because he lived in our world. And he walks with us today. So he understands that. He understands what we go through. How it is easy to lose sight of the spiritual kingdom of God. Because we can't see it. If you can't see something, it becomes hard to remember that it exists, doesn't it? But that's why Jesus speaks so much about it in the Gospels. And that's why I want to talk about it on the show today, because during Lent, this is the challenge for us, we are called to remove our attachment to the things of the earth and focus on the eternal. We're going to spend a lot more time in eternal life than we will on this earth. So we really want to make sure that we get it right and that we end up in the right place. You do not want to spend eternity in hell. Neither do I. So I'm not a big fan of fire and brimstone preaching, but I do like to keep it real. And Lent is the time to really double down on it and focus on those things that are causing us to take our eyes off of Jesus. So with that in mind, let's look at the Be Not Afraid or the Give Up Worry for Lent Bible verse for the day. It's Matthew 14:30. But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." I love this story. This is the incident where Peter and the disciples were in the boat. Jesus came walking to them on the water. They didn't recognize him. They thought he was a ghost. Then he told them to not be afraid because it's him. Peter called out and said, "Lord, if it is you," you know, he's discerning, he's being careful. "If it is you, tell me to step out of the boat." Now, as an experienced fisherman, that's kind of a wacky request, but it just goes to show us the power of an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus said to Peter, "Come on." And Peter did. He got out of the boat. He took the risk in faith. He stepped out in faith after getting the confirmation from Jesus. It's not stupid what he did. He was following the will of Jesus. Jesus told him to come. And Peter waited for that call. And he got out of the boat. And he was able to walk on the water. That's what the Bible says. But then we come to this verse. But when Peter saw the wind blowing the waves, the sea rising, the storm clouds, he was afraid. So he looked at something other than Jesus. Do you see that? He couldn't look at the wind and the waves and the rising sea and at Jesus at the same time. When he looked at Jesus, when he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. He was able to do what was not humanly possible. But once his eyes moved off of Jesus and onto the wind, he became afraid and he began to sink. That is what happens to us when we focus too much on the things of the world, the troubles, the struggles, the trials, even material possessions. You know, what if I lose my job and I'm not going to be able to keep making these car payments and I'm not going to be able to take my family on vacations? And then we begin to become afraid and anxious and scary and scared. I should say. It becomes really frightening to do anything once we take our eyes off of Jesus. You can't be looking at Jesus and looking at the world at the same time. We just can't do it. You know that feeling when you start scrolling through your Facebook feed and you see all the negative stuff? The dire predictions about the future of COVID? Or whatever your fears are? The economy? Our government? The hatred between people? You know, you start to feel that sick, queasy feeling in your stomach. You need to understand what's going on in the world. I recognize that. But you don't want to do it more than it's necessary. Because if you do, you're going to start to flounder. You are going to start to be upset. You're not going to pray because you're going to keep looking for the article that has some good news. Did you ever do that? You see nothing but bad news and you say, well, let me keep looking. There's got to be somebody that says something good about this or that, whatever you're concerned with. But unfortunately, what happens more often than not is all you keep doing is finding more bad news. And you become really discouraged and often hopeless. That's not good. As Christians, we are called to follow Jesus wherever he leads us. You know, that's going to be wherever in your life he leads you. Depending on your state of life, it's going to be different. But for most of us, we have a job to go to, we have things to do, we have a family to take care of, we have responsibilities. That's where Jesus takes us every day. That's how his will unfolds in our life. Pretty simple. I used to be really overwhelmed. How do I know what God wants me to do? Well, you pretty much do your ordinary duties. Now, every now and then you get a crazy call like I got to go into ministry. But for the average person, that doesn't happen. It could. But even for me, for the most part, I've got my duties. I have to do certain things every day. Jesus wants me to do them. That's how he leads me through life. But I can't lose sight of him like Peter did. Otherwise, I begin to sink. What's the good news? The good news is Peter adjusted. He took his eyes off Jesus. He began to sink in the water. And then he regained his composure, cried out to Jesus with one of my favorite prayers. Lord, save me. And what happened? Jesus grabbed him immediately and he saved him. So we've got to get back to focusing on Jesus and not being attached to the things of the world, not overwhelmed by the waves, by the storms, etc. Not easy to do, but it's something we can work on during Lent. Okay, let me read this gospel while I have time. Today, this is from Daily Mass today, the gospel according to Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he's telling a parable. There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously every day. In other words, this guy had a pretty comfortable life. Lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. Yuck. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. And from the netherworld where he was in torment, he raised his eyes, and he saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames. Abraham replied, My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours. He said, Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment. But Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. He said, Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. Then Abraham said, If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, Neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead. Now, this is a really tough parable, tough gospel. The message is Lazarus was so focused. I'm sorry, the rich man. He's unnamed. Interesting. The rich man is not named in this gospel, but we know Lazarus, the beggar. The rich man was so focused on living a comfortable life that he ignored the need of the poor man, who he could have helped. The message for us in this life, are we so concerned with pleasure, with comfort? Are we so attached to the things of the world? Are we so fixated on the waves and the storm and the wind and the challenges of life that we lose sight of the eternal perspective? That following Jesus is what it means to be a Christian. And if we follow Jesus, then what do we have to do? We have to listen to what he tells us to do. And he told us to take care of the poor and to love our enemies and to not worry and to trust that our Father will provide for our needs and to seek first the kingdom and so on and so forth. That's what it means to follow Christ. And during Lent, it's a chance for us to look inside of us and determine, am I too attached to things, to circumstances, to the world, and too little attached to Jesus? That's what I have to ask. And now's the time to make those changes. I'm going to pray for you. Would you pray for me too? Because I'm struggling with this as well. Thank you. If you have questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Please, again, as we go off the air, please consider becoming a monthly sponsor to my ministry. You just go to followingthetruth.com and click on donate, and you can do that or make a one-time donation. If you've ever thought about it in the past, now's the time to do it, okay? Thank you so much. God willing, I plan to be back with you here tomorrow on Following the Truth. Have yourself a wonderful night, and thanks so much for joining me today on the program. We'll see you next time, okay? Bye-bye.